Ephesians 5 and verses 8 to 20, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Can we pray before we get started? Lord, thank you for your great grace to us. I pray you'd speak to us now through your word and by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Starting at verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pass a little drawing around. Just pass it like you did the hat. I'm not the best drawer, but it'll help. I remember a vision that one of my friends had. Whatever you think of visions or whether you think they still happen, I believe they do.
Oh, yeah.
As someone was speaking the gospel to a group of people, that person was surrounded by darkness, and they were a beast, like a carcass, standing there, but at the same time, they were light in the vision as they spoke. And I thought that was a helpful picture of what the flesh is and what we are, what our identity is in Christ Jesus at the same time. I had a friend, and I've always had a dream of having a house church where people could confess their sins in the church and have us pray for each other and it be a healing experience and not like a gossip experience. And I remember a young man who was baptized in our group came to house church. Some of you may remember this. And it was his turn to speak, and he was going to speak on James 5. And he proceeded to take the text, James 5, say it says, confess your sins to one another. And they began to do just that. He began to just confess his sins to our group, all of them. And I asked for his permission. He said, sure, just share it. self-loathing, homosexual lust, isolation. He kept going down the list. And as we listened, our hearts started to break, and we started to see things we needed to repent of, and we started to cry, and the whole group started to repent and take hands and pray for each other that we might be healed. And after that, it wasn't so much that anyone gossiped about what they heard. It was that we were redeemed. We felt like we had let a weight go together in that room. And we felt a healing experience from confessing our sins to one another. And that's, so for me, it was like a dream fulfilled. And I really believe that's part of what it means to walk in the light, to walk in a way that is awake and without secrets. But as the text begins in verse 8, at one time you were darkness, now you are light in the Lord. You look at that picture. When a person is in darkness, like that picture of the carcass, they're dominated by the flesh. Their motivation is to do everything for themselves. The self is on the throne. But there is, as it were, almost asleep, the potential for them to wake up. The spirit is dead like in the sleep of death. And until they're born again, they'll remain dead. You can talk to people that are in darkness about the gospel all you want, but it'll be like talking to a brick wall, because they're spiritually dead. And even if you look at Ephesians 2, it says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. But then it talks about who we are in Christ. So that picture has a person in darkness who's dominated by the flesh. They're carnal. And it has a picture of those in the light. And a person in the light is light in the Lord. That's what it says. You are light in the Lord. And like the vision that that person saw, the person speaking was light as they spoke in Christ's name. That's who you are. You are light in the Lord. There is this carcass that's there, the flesh. It's not who you are, but it's sort of a leftover reminder of who you were. And though it may not dominate you anymore, it rears its ugly head and reminds you where you came from. You were once darkness. Now you are light in the Lord. Again, that's not your identity. You're not darkness. You were once darkness, though. And that'll always remind you when that flesh rears its ugly head and you find yourself saying, why did I just do that? That's not what I wanted to do. Well, you're born again. And so you have this war at work within you, like Paul did, according to his writing by the Spirit in Romans 7. Look at verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And then it gives a command from the place of knowing your identity. Walk as children of light. Now that you know you were once darkness, now you are light. Now that you have that revelation, walk as children of light. Because you will walk and it will flow out of knowing who you are in Him. Not trying to be self-actualized or dominated by the self, but rather led by the Spirit of Christ. And that's your identity. That carcass, if we were left to ourselves, that's what all that would be left on the day of judgment. We'd be a thing weeping and gnashing its teeth out, left in the outer darkness. But now that we've been brought into the light, we are light. That's what this text will go on to say by the Spirit. Even if you look at verse 1 of chapter 5, your beloved children, because Christ, in verse 2, gave Himself for you as a fragrant offering. But now you learn to live out of that place. And verse 9, it calls us to walk out of that place. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. All that is good and right and true. You can think of examples of that. Just walking in the light. I think of sometimes the opportunity just to play with kids. It's just a pure right thing. Or work hard for the organization you're a part of in order to help it grow and do well, instead of always thinking about what's in it for me. Or after work, you see a homeless person and you think, well, I'm not just going to give them money. I'm going to take them out to eat. And I'm going to talk with them and find out their story. There's lots of things that are good and right and true that flow from people who walk in the light. You can think of, I'm sure, thousands of examples. And sharing with one another the good things the Lord has done. But walking in the light is so vital for us to do. In verse 10, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. What is it that you're obsessing about? What is it that you find yourself thinking about? Usually, we end up thinking about how we feel, how this makes me feel. Not always. There's a generation that doesn't emphasize that, but a newer generation does. Take this text and consider what God wants. What is pleasing to Him? Not just what is pleasing to you. That's part of walking in the light. Think on, you know, God, what makes you happy? What can I pray that would bless your heart? What is on your mind today? Those are ways that we can get out of ourselves and walk in the light of God. So walking in the light means we are the light. Secondly, it means we have no secrets. That's a strong statement, but listen to verse 11. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead, and this is a command from the Holy Spirit, expose them. Whoa. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret, speaking of those in darkness. Here's a really important principle, okay, for us to take home. If you have what used to be called in the Welsh Revival a besetting sin, if you have a sin that you keep finding yourself getting stuck in, you come back to God and you keep confessing and you keep saying, Lord, forgive me, I fell into it again. But as you're confessing to God, it doesn't seem to be enough. In some ways, it is enough. Because Ruth and I were talking about this earlier. Our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Forgiven. He looks on us. He's justified us. But something I've seen in the scripture and I've experienced in walking with people in this life, sometimes in order to overcome that sin and be healed, you got to find someone that you can trust and you can confess it to. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, speaking of those who are in darkness. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. So as you share that, here's a reality that this text talks of. And the next verse, for anything that becomes visible is light. Now what does that mean? You may have those one or two people that you feel you can share with. But here's what happens when you have a struggle that God helps you overcome because of the cross of Jesus Christ who has given us the victory, and we start to walk in that victory, we can go to other people who struggle with the same thing, and we can encourage them that they too can have victory even in this life, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And that's part of Christ's resurrection power. Because in the very places where we had shame, where we thought it was never possible for us to overcome that sin, Christ paid for it. And this is a way in which Christ paying for it becomes something that we experience even in this life. And of course in the life to come. That's one of the beauties of the gospel. Is then that place that you said, you know, how can God take my sin and work all things together for my good? Well, he can take other people who are going through the same thing as you overcome. And as you share your testimonies of how God has helped you, they also are encouraged and can be set free too. You see how important that is. And that's part of why it's important for us to walk in the light. Because it's our identity. We are the light. And we don't need to have secrets. We can be free more and more. And I'm not saying you get to the point of perfection in this life. I'm only saying we can overcome more and more and more. I think sometimes in the Protestant and in Reformed circles, we've emphasized that Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us. And then it's kind of like, well, be thankful, you filthy sinner, that he loves you. And that's it. And that's not the whole gospel. Because he also transforms us. And sanctifies us and makes us more holy like him. And I think that's important for us to remember. Certainly it's something that the Holy Spirit speaks through his word. And that's where that what we think was a hymn in the early church comes from. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. That's why I believe that needed to be put to music. Because it was originally music for the church to remember. Christ is risen from the dead. I too with him can rise. There can be victory in my life. I don't have to stay stuck. And even if I do fall, and even if I do stumble, I have an advocate with the Father. And I can ask, I can confess my sins to him, and he will forgive me again. But let's go on to God's will. And that's the third thing, walking in the will of God, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is God's will? People ask pastors, and Henry Blackaby gets into this with Experiencing God. People ask pastors a lot, well, what is God's will for me? As if we can tell them that, right? But the question is, what is God's will? Do that. Get into his purpose, and you will see him working in your life. You don't have to sit around and wait for a blueprint for all that he wants you to do. He already showed you in the Word what he wants you to do. Do that, and everything else will be clear. Do the will of the Lord. Be by the grace of the Lord, and walk in that, and that grace will help you. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. He doesn't want us to get caught in addictions, whether Facebook or shopping or porn or drinking or drugs or performance-driven ministry. Amen. That's one I've gotten into before. Lord, help us. It can be anything that takes the place of Christ. He doesn't want us to get caught up in that. He wants us to get caught up in the Holy Spirit. And the Greek here says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's a continual thing. And that's how we can put away the works of the flesh, by walking in the Spirit of God. Not just by sitting there and going, no, I won't, no, I won't, because then you'll end up doing it. But if you walk in the Spirit, there is hope for victory in your life, friends. Because Christ purchased that for us. And we can see it more and more in our lives. Here's another way of walking in the Spirit. It says, addressing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Sometimes at prayer, Bernie will just start singing to us. And I sure appreciate that. We don't do that very much in our culture, where we just sing to each other or we just share a psalm. You know what, friends? That's a good thing to do. I know it feels a little awkward sometimes, but it's a good thing to pass that on to each other, encourage each other with Scripture. I know when someone's going through a hard time, it can be trite to say, well, the Lord, you know, this and that. But sometimes it is the thing that needs to be passed on. Sometimes we need to hear from each other, the Word of God, the psalms, the hymns, spiritual songs, and encourage each other in the Spirit. How else can we go on? Some of us, we need encouragement so much. And that's so lacking right now in our culture. We need to encourage each other in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so that's a way to practice. You know, you get afraid to share with people that don't know Christ. But first it takes us practicing with those who do. Sharing what God has done and not thinking that's just an awkward thing, but sharing, this is something God's done in my life. And then it won't be so awkward to share with people that don't know the Lord, because you've already been practicing with those who do. Amen? Good stuff. And then this last word, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, isn't that a good way to be filled with the Spirit of God? I've been trying to do that in the morning. I start with, thank you for saving me from hell. Everything gets better from there on out. Amen. And I just go through things I'm thankful for. The main one is the most important. But that's so vital, friends. You know what he's doing here? He's getting us out of ourselves. Amen. We get so caught up in ourselves, especially during this season, right? There's a lot of stuff going on, and you can respond to it by going, oh, me, 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 me. And that's understandable. We need to be with those who are grieving, but it's important for us to get out of ourselves and get into the Lord, because he purchased us with his blood. He gave himself for us to set us free in this life and in the life to come. In this life, more and more and more and more. And in the life to come, totally. But that's why he did it. For the glory of his Father first, but also for our benefit, that we might be free and we might be a testimony to his greatness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We want to walk in the light. We want to wake up from our sleep. Help us to know how to trust you and then how to properly trust each other. That's not easy, because we've hurt each other at different points. We've been hurt by people, so we need you to help us to know when it's safe and when it's not safe, and all those things. We need your Spirit so much, Lord. And we need you to remind us again today that we are light in the Lord, because you, the light of the world, gave yourself for us. You really rose from death, and we've really risen with you spiritually, and someday we'll rise physically too. This news is applicable to today. I pray that we can walk in the light as children of light today. Help us, Lord. We fall so short, but you keep on helping us. You're so kind. You're so caring. You're so patient. You're so loving. Nobody does it like you. You're the King that goes to each of his subjects and makes us your children, makes us your bride, makes us so close to you, and serves us with your love. Lord, how can we serve you? Help us to get out of ourselves and to get up, caught up in you and love each other every day more and more in Jesus' name. Amen.